see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. Yes, it's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program tonight. This afternoon from 4 to 6, my name is Thomas Gambell. I'm the host of this program, and you're all welcome. It's brought to you by the Watchmen for Jesus Network. And I've been operating now for about 6 years under two different names. Now I've settled on Watchmen for Jesus over the past 6 years. Been a long ways I've come. Family, today, and I going over my plans for today, we're definitely going to be going into Monday, too, for sure. I'm going to cover it all. It's part two of incorporating the Iron Mount Report into this segment to show you what's going on, really. And I'm going to consolidate it all. And it will tell you why things are happening in this world today. Totally. It's contained within the Iron Mountain Report. But that's not where I start. And it's not where I stop. I will summarize the entire world situation for you. In this segment, these segments about the Iron Mountain, before it and during it and after it. A world history within 6 hours. Yesterday was part of Iron Mountain, today part of Iron Mountain, and Monday certainly will be part of Iron Mountain. It will explain why virtually everything is happening in this world today. How about that? Is that a sweeping statement or what? I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and that's what I do every time because this is not my broadcast. I do this for the Lord, for Jesus Christ. I don't have to meet him to know he's there. I didn't know him before. I know him now. It's a choice I made. And I've been through it, as many people have, tested, tried, got away from, all kinds of different directions my life went. And I tested it big time. And it's not something I fell onto because I needed something. I analyzed everything. I mean everything. And when I was running away, I was in my own world as a Marine, and well, as a college boy, then Marine, and wanted to do my job for the military to kill people back in the 70s, but stupid things I was involved in and got out, government contracting, oh my goodness, and I wanted to keep doing what I was doing, and I didn't want to stop, and so I figured as a civilian, I could still keep doing it somehow. And God said, that's enough, boy. I'm going to get a hold of you. He did. And I realized that there is a God. No, he doesn't talk to me in my head audibly. That's ridiculous. But when you become born again, he talks to you in your heart. You kind of know his voice. Actually, when the Congo, I was there for a year as a State Department project manager for intelligence project for the U.S. Department of State. I was there, Kisangani, isolated pretty much with one other contractor with a different company. Anyway, I've talked about NPRI before. Long story short, once I dedicated my life again because I fell away, here's the point. He says, now I'm going to give you my voice. And I started writing poems. I don't write poems. Roses are red, violets are blue, I don't know, can you tell who? I'm not a poet, but I wrote 12 very lengthy poems. And then it ended, it quit. I couldn't write any more poems, there's 12 of them I've got. And I realized later in my spiritual walk that that was God's voice talking through me through inspiration. And he said, that's my voice, now you hear it, now you listen. And that's how, if you hear an audible voice in your head, that is not God. If the audible voice, and there's people hearing that, it is technology. It is demonic. If it goes against the Bible, and you know it is, the voice you hear is secondary when it's against the Bible. It now takes a second seat. You better get some help quick. Help is through the Holy Spirit because you're being attacked. This is a real reality. It's truth. Audible voices are technology or demonic? Absolutely. No question about that. And I say that emphatically because that is happening now. It's happening. It's going on. It's occurring. I've talked about it before. But before I get going on the Iron Mount Report, and this will explain in a model today, it'll give you an idea today, certainly, and from yesterday as a setup, today more specific, to say the least. And I'll continue on with the specifics on Monday, probably. But before I get going, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to tell you a message, we'll call it, to the other side, that I got to get out. You'll know when the time comes, when I speak about it, when I get started. So, here we go. Lord, we thank you today. We come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we lift up to you this broadcast, my Bible studies. And Father, listen to those. Father, we pray to you to hear the prayers of those, their silent prayers, if you hear them all, of those today. and those in the broadcast, and those that listen, Father, in the archives, it's still here, they're still there. May not be live, Lord, but Father, whenever they hear the broadcast, this prayer stands. Father, we pray to you, our Father in heaven, that, Lord, you'll guide us in our lives. Open our minds with inspiration, with wisdom, discernment. Father, we can see through the deception of this world. Father, to give us that courage, we ask for that courage, opportunities, Lord, to witness to others, to understand how this world works, Lord, that we can expose it. Because this world, we know, Father, now that Satan is prince of this world for now. But, Father, we know you're king. And, that, Father, he can't do more than what you will allow. But, Lord, this country is turning away from you. Father, we pray that if you give us time, that those that are still praying will have time to witness to others, to make adjustments and arrangements. And, Lord, the main thing is to witness about the love of Jesus and about the saving grace for our souls' salvation. Father, we pray for our families, that they're tearing the families apart. That, Father, will give us time to bring these families back together before the day of the Lord begins. And, Father, before the tribulation begins, we know it hasn't started yet, but, Lord, we pray that you'll have us ready before that time, that our hearts will be ripe and ready, and that we've prepared the way for your second coming. Lord, we pray today. We pray for protection. And we pray, Lord, for those in that plane that went down, the families, for their comfort. And to use this tragedy, Lord, as a testimony for your love, that, Father, you'll give them comfort and grace in their time of grieving. Father, we pray for our military, our individual military, our soldiers, Marines, and the veterans that are being targeted, Lord, we know that they are, that you'll silence the voices in the head. Father, you'll take down the technology and destroy it, that you'll render null and void these effects of these vaccines and the chips that have been placed in their bodies by these vaccines. That, Lord, these things specifically we mention, that your Holy Spirit will take it down. And Lord, we call upon you to protect our children from these diagnoses of ADHD and these psychotropic drugs that's been shoved in their bodies by the lie. That Lord, you render it null and void and protect the children. And Lord, that you'll spring up in the churches and chase out those demons that's come inside. And Father, to exalt the King James Bible as a true word of God. And Father, to give courage to these pastors and preachers, rabbis and those in the cathedrals, that, Lord, they'll come out of the churches and preach the truth. And to settle into the one Bible that you have, the King James. Father, we need that army to rise up to spread your holy word. And these things we pray, Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I kind of said here and wonder where to start in a way. I got everything kind of today. It's a little more planned than in the past. Yesterday, I just fell into it. I didn't really know what I was going to talk about yesterday. I knew the news and all that, but it was something almost in the last minute, and a friend of mine made a hint and a comment, and I realized, yeah. So I wasn't prepared for yesterday, but I did it anyway because it's something that had to be said and started. This report of Iron Mountain is very significant. And what you hear is me drinking my ginger tea. I'm into ginger tea now. No, I'm not into the health foods, this, that, and the other. I'm just an old country boy, still biscuits and gravy and sausage. hopefully the ginger tea will counteract it. Anyways, I don't worry about all that. Father, I do this as a voluntary service for 6 years because I don't want to have anybody thinking I'm doing it for my own self-benefit. I'm connected to nobody except Jesus. That's it. I don't get into patriotic this, that, and the other. I don't get into Tea Party and Oath Keepers. That's all good, I guess. I don't know. But there's going to be one family in this world that's called those who follow Jesus Christ. When he comes back, he's not going to separate you. You're all going to be one world government, but under a benevolent leader named Jesus Christ. But before that, there will be a world government. There'll be one of the most evil world governments in the face of this planet since Nimrod. And before, it will happen. You'll come in like a lamb of helping and cooperation, and all religions come together and all people come together, but it will be a lie. And then it will break out really, really ugly. I got to tell you the truth. When? Nobody knows. Nobody will know until it really happens. There's no four blood moons. Can they make something happen? Sure. They can make something happen technologically, supernaturally, certainly. But you won't find it in the Bible. Hagee and Mark Blitz are wrong. Dead wrong. That four blood moons have been debunked a long time ago. It's garbage. The book. It's nonsense. Family, the Bible, the King James Bible, tells you what's exactly what's going to happen. How come they don't use the Bible? Oh, they do in their lessons, right? Yeah, sure. And they twist the scriptures too, like a pretzel. I have an epiphany I got to pass on. Last night it came to me. I'm not a theologian, I'm not an apostle, disciple, or whatever you want to call them, but some of these epiphanies come to me. It's not really me. I live in a small little town, and I got my own little life here in this little town that Andy Griffin comes from. So I'm not into selling anything. I'm not into any political movements, none of that stuff. I don't work with anybody. I don't care to. But I sure do follow Jesus. He's the creator of this universe. That gives him a little bit of heads up. You know what I mean? What's going on. And I'm going to follow him. When it comes to the country and Jesus, I'm going to say, is that a trick question? Jesus comes first. Well, I know his voice, as anyone can when you listen. And this is how I get some of my epiphanies. And I got one to pass on. Now, this isn't to the family that listens to me on a regular basis. This is to secret society members. This is to your so-called generals and so-called admirals that work for the Council of Foreign Relations, that work for the Joint Chief of Staff, or whatever you want to call them. This is for the elite and those who want to follow them. I got something to say, as I've said before, but this is different. You see, when you join the secret societies and you work for them for a while, at the same time, you're working for your own unit, your section, your command, your company, whatever it is, you're leading a double life. You're leading a double life. You wear a false face with the family, your own loved ones. And you pretend friends, you have barbecues. And all the while, you're a liar. And you know you're working for the secret societies in the shadows, behind closed doors. And feel important. You have your own parking place. But you're only important to them for as long as they need you. even until retirement. But then if you know too much of what's going on, you are now a liability. And so you will die. And if there's a possibility of you having a change of heart in your retirement, they will kill you. It's documented. Protocol 15 of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's there. And you will die. And they will kill you. I can't soften the truth about that at all. So when you retire, you'll always worry. You'll buy an expensive, alarm system because you're always worried that maybe they're going to come after you. Because probably they will. Even the assassins that's trained from birth in their prime killed a lot of people called the nihilists. You too will get old, too old to kill, and you'll be put out to pasture. And so you will become a mark also. They cannot have you running around with the possibility of you having a heart change. You will also die. And you've committed nothing but egregious crimes that you count as success. But in your nightmares, you can't sleep. And you wonder where you're going to be next, so you can never rest. Is that a way you like to live? You're working for a very evil group of people that you can't even imagine, even if you're an assassin. You have no idea, even as an assassin, you have no idea the evil that you're working for. And they'll eventually kill you. Commanders who have retired and know about the conspiracy, will you have lived for the one world plan? Yes, you will have. But will you ever see it? How many have come and gone and died? Has never seen it happen, and yet they worked for it. But they've never seen it, and they're not coming back either. Was their life wasted? Did they waste their entire life worrying, planning, killing, either by orders or otherwise? Restless nights, divorces. Was it worth it? You sit on the CFR briefings. What have you accomplished? Pats on the back. Rewards that collect dust. Or you put them up on your wall. I love me wall. Everything put behind a picture frame, all in order. You can sit there and look at it all day long and drink ginger tea. And just sit there and look at it. Wow, that's fun. Take a picture of it. Take it with you when you go to the club or if you go golfing. Look what I look at. See that? That's my medal. See that? Look at that. You can share war stories. Isn't that fun? Or you end up being forgotten because you're now over. What really happens? Was it worth it? What have you accomplished in your life, really? If you've lived, died, never seeing your work come to one world government or come to fruition, you never saw it. You had it planned. You saw it before you and it slipped through your fingers. All that work for nothing. All that death for nothing that you are responsible for. You will be reminded that your work being used led to world peace. Did it really? Since when? When did that happen? Because I don't think so. It has in fact led to the death of millions because of the orders and plans that you submitted and deployed, the death of civilians and your own servicemen. Was it worth it? And they'll kill you when you no longer need it. You will not live because you know too much. You'll be fishing and you'll have a heart attack. You'll be flying your own little Cessna and it will crash. you're driving your car and you'll have an accident. God forbid you ride a motorcycle. This is how the nihilists kill you. And you know that too. So I ask you, money is freedom, right? Power is freedom, right? Wrong. So who's really the prisoner? Who is the prisoner here? We, who are the world's citizens, even though we definitely are slaves in our own country. Oh, we are. We definitely are. We've been slaves, debt slaves, since 1929. The country's never had a democracy confirmed by FDR, March 4th, 1939. He confirms it. Bush confirms it. They all confirm it. We've never had a democracy. Ever. General Butler, all war is a racket. He wrote that treatise in 1934. He knew. Patton knew. We've never had a democracy. We're a colony today. We was a colony 1782. We're a colony today, 2015. They lied to us. But that's not the problem. See, 90% of Americans don't even know that. Now, they're politically awakened. They're coming out, the sovereign citizen and all that sort of thing. That's just to keep you all distracted. So, we're slaves, but 90% of the population don't even know it. They think they're free. Everybody believes we have freedom. You do till you try to exercise it. Kennedy did. And he had a problem. Bobby Kennedy did. Martin Luther King did. And Malcolm X did. And they all four were killed by the same organizations. Because they disrupted the takeover in 1963. That's why it didn't happen. Because those four men, operating independently, of course, but God puts them all in derision. Well, I'm not done yet. So the citizens of the world are slaves of their own country, but don't even know it. So, since they don't know it, are they really prisoners? You know it, elite. You know it, generals and admirals that are part of the CFR and Joint Chiefs. You know about this conspiracy. You've taken the blood oaths that you can't tell your families. And you know if you go outside it, you will die. So you're afraid to do that. There's a group you can't talk about above a whisper. So now I ask you, who is the slave now? Because we don't know it. So we're free. You're not free, and you know you're not. So who's the prisoner, really? We fancy ourselves to be free, for now, anyway. You, globalists, you'll meet the same fate as the citizens when you're done. But where's your soul going to go? Because you won't just go to annihilation. If you're not born again, you're going to hell. That's a given. If you're born again, you'll see the Savior, you'll see God. But even on the physical plane, I stand by what I said. So your efforts will have been for nothing. You'll be enslaved and killed by the very brass bull you created. You know what I mean by the brass bull? The brass bull that was created by, I forgot the king's name, I think it's in Mexico? I forgot where, somewhere. Nimrod. I forgot the name. And the inventor of the brass bull, you'd put a person in and build a fire underneath the brass bull, and then the hot heat would get so hot that the body would boil, and the body would explode, and the moisture would come out of the nose of the brass bull. Well, the one who built the brass bull, when it was time to test it, was the first one thrown in it. Yeah. Here's the rub, actually. We, as the unaware citizens, imagine ourselves free under the facade. But you, on the other hand, elite and military and industrialists, of which the names and royal families, all of you, you, on the other hand, reminded every waking moment and every nightmare that you have that you are enslaved by your own blood oath and the illegal activities that you are doing and the money for sex that you take or your pleasures given to you or benefits that you're going to be found out. You can't do anything they don't tell you. If they tell you, you have to do everything they tell you to do. That was awkward. But you have to do everything they tell you or you're in fear of being exposed to your family, to your citizens that you know, to your troops you owe loyalty to. You're under bondage. And should you decide to quit, you can't. You're the slave. And you know it. So you military commanders, I was a former Marine, a captain, I've been there. Especially you Joint Chief of Staff or CFR members that you brief, that evil bunch of people up there, absolutely. You have a sword always over your head. It's called Damocles' sword. And where you go, it's with you. One discovery and all comes crashing down. The money you stole, the affairs you might have had or found out, you can't rest because of them because you don't know who's going to expose you. The thousands of fellow Americans and patriots that you knowingly caused their death, because the ends justify the means, you will be held accountable. The outcome of every election is predetermined, so why vote? That's a fact. The outcome of every single war or police action we've been in is already determined. No matter what tactics you use, no matter superior firepower, it don't matter. It's already determined what's going to happen before you even go to combat. So why even fight? They're controlled by rules of engagement and a dialectic. It's already determined. I've proven that already. Since the Revolutionary War, it's been determined who's going to win and who's going to lose. We already know how World War III is going to be fought. We already know who's going to win. Even now, we can tell you. So why fight? Just say, well, Joint Chief of Staff and CFR, let us know who's going to win first before we go into battle, so we'll maybe not have to go. We'll just go ahead and give up, right? Why fight and die when you already... It can be told who's going to win. As a military commander, when I found this out, I'm like, this is ridiculous. 6 months of TBS. You go to Command and Staff Amphibious Warfare School. Command and Staff College. For what? The war is already determined. The outcome is already decided. And yet you still waste lives. How many generals working for CFR really see it happen? And the ones that will, you won't live long after it has happened. You commanders, or any one still alive, which I doubt, or the offspring of the commanders of the 7th Fleet back in 1950, who blocked the free Chinese from taking communist China. Yeah, our own troops. How many of you maybe still living? Of course, you're probably too old right now. Or offspring who had family members that were commanders of the 7th Fleet that blocked the free Chinese, that helped the communist China. Your grandfathers or fathers then can be blamed for every death in Korea and every death in Vietnam. And the deaths for... Even after then, by suicide, by cancer, Agent Orange, suicide, after all that, 100,000 or so after Vietnam, because of communism that you helped to foment. either your family member, grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever, is carried down to the family. If you took a blood oath, that curse is still there. It's not counting the innocent Koreans and Vietnamese that died. Then in 1987, Reagan, a Knights of Malta member, a liar, just like all the Schwarzenegger and Ventura and all of them that are actors have become political leaders. Have we lost our minds? Now, of course, Reagan is appointed, never elected. But your governors are. That's probably also. Testimony proves that the elections are thrown by a computer program. I played that about 2 weeks ago. Slam dunk that one. So the election process is ridiculous. It doesn't work. In 1987, Reagan, an actor by chance, by choice, he faked the fall of communism. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Well, what they didn't tell you was the tearing down of the wall didn't go in like a vacuum. No. When they tore down the wall, communism came out and became the norm. Oh, yeah. See, they didn't tell you that part. We assumed by the tear down the wall that the free came in, but it was communist outside. When they tore down the wall, communism had an open door. It went out. It's always been that way. No, that symbolized the expansion of communism outward, beyond the wall, not inward, as the news tried to make it seem. Then, in only a few years, the same CFR engineered even the worst enemy, right on target, right after radical Islam, controlled by your same masters, the late 80s to Bosnia, Nazis to Bosnia, the Roman Empire, was always at battle with each other. It's always been America with the Nazis and Europe with the communists after World War II. They're the ones, the giants, are battling each other, and we're caught in the middle. It's always been that way. The Rockefellers versus Rothschild. That's a complicated thing to explain. That's what's going on. So I end it there. As if they would hear this, but they better listen. Those of us that are truth tellers and watchmen, we come, we go, just like that. So what? But there's something to do here. It might make an impression. I don't know. I just thought I'd get that out because I was putting my heart to put it out. I did. So what have they done? What have they created? They have lost this already. They have not won. They have lost. But we have to go through these tribulations because it's going to separate not the men from the boys. That's so cliche. It's going to separate the goats and the sheep. It's going to separate the wheat and the tares. That's coming. That's why God allows it to happen, to see where your loyalty really lies. Because you have free will. And of your free will, are you going to take the rewards of this earth or the rewards of heaven? Because eternity begins with the end of time. And time, when it ends, starts eternity. It just doesn't. Nothing just goes poof in this out of commission. End of time means time is no longer registered, which means eternity begins, you see? People have a misnomer of the end of time. They think everything just goes poof and it disappears. No, don't do that. Where are you going to be when eternity starts? Because the side that they're on is most certainly not the right one when you're responsible for the death of millions. And literally, literally, those that in the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations and Joint Chief back in the 50s and from then on, are in fact responsible for mass murder of not only World War II, but also Korea and Vietnam. And the same thing for the German military, for the Japanese military, by their own commanders and their own leaders. Same thing. We've all been taught to fight each other for their benefit. In every country, the secret societies is the enemy that controls Islam, that controls communism, controls even the riots here in America. Are the same people that plans the outcome of the war before it even starts. They think they have a secret. They don't. Okay. Oh, did anyone tell you that the broadcast might be a little bit intense sometimes? For me, not really, but there's things that's got to be said somehow. And I just will do it. And that's how it is. Family, I want to talk about the Iron Mount report. And the Iron Mount report, gosh, where to begin? I covered it yesterday. And you probably need to go back if you're interested. It laid the groundwork for the Iron Mount report somewhat. Well, quite a bit, actually. Today, I want to get specific on it. And I guess the best place to start is where it really come around in this fruition. A fruition, it had a beginning. And I want to tell you when the beginning was that led to the Iron Mount report. I bet you're not expecting this. You see, in light of revelations, not of the Bible, but revelations of how the Freemasonry works, the Rosicrucians, Bavarian government, back in the 18th century. Oh, here we go. The Iron Mount report comes out of what's called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. That's where they come from. That's the origin of the Iron Mount report. Comes from Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Quantified. Now, if I were to tell you the exact origin of it, you would definitely have a problem with that. It comes from supernatural origin. Even before the date I'm going to give you. You see, the Masons, Freemasons, are nothing but gophers for the Illuminati. I'll tell you why. Because Masons, you should be shocked to discover the fact that the Continental Masonry and the Illuminati that we're dealing with today were formally wedded, connected, melded together, whatever you want to call it, in July of 1782. Carried down through generations upon generations, like doing a 440 relay. Now, there was lengthy negotiations between Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jesuit priest. Sure, he was a Jew. But you also have Irish, English, Austrian, German Jesuits also. So don't start this as a Jew conspiracy nonsense and leave out all the rest. Because the names of these globalists are very available. You can know the names, exactly the names, and the houses that they live, not like the houses meaning the royal family house, not the address and all that. No, would do no good anyway. The houses are like your formal organization of your royal families, like House of Orange, House of whatever, Savoy. You can know who they are. You can know who the royal families are that are Illuminati that's doing the killing. okay? And the secret societies that's involved in doing the killing and the planning. I don't mince words very well. I'm not at all politically correct. I never intend on being. It's not going to happen. In July of 1782, after lengthy negotiations between Adam Weishaupt, who was contracted by the Rothschilds in 1772, he finished the protocols of 1776, May the 1st. And then, after the Civil Revolutionary War, they set up an agreement reached on December the 20th, 1781, to combine the two orders of the Freemasons and the Illuminati. So the outside world at that time is never going to know what really happened at what's called the Congress of Wilhelmsbad, W-I-L-H-E-L-M-S-B-A-D, Wilhelmsbad. Because even the men, the honorable ones, the good ones, the ones that really thought they were helping, they've been unwittingly drawn into this movement under an oath to reveal nothing to the public. And one such honest Freemason called the Comte de Villarue, V-I-R-I-E-U, he wrote in his biography, he said, and I quote, "Tragic secrets, I will not confide them to you." In his diary, he said, "I can only tell you that all this is very much more serious than you think. The conspiracy which is being woven is so well thought out that it would be impossible for the monarchy and the church to escape it." Unquote. Now, from that point on, 1782, when he returned back to his home country, his biographer, M. Costa de Beauregard, said, I quote, "The Comte de Villarue could only speak of Freemasonry with horror." So what they did, that the headquarters of the Illuminized, now Freemasonry, was moved to Frankfurt, Germany. This was a stronghold of German finance, and is controlled by the Rothschilds. For the first time then, Jews were admitted into the order. Only then. And before that, the Jews would only be admitted to a division of the order called the Small and Constant Sanhedrin of Europe. That's the beginning of the Iron Mount Report. Now, after that, they started putting together this conspiracy. It was discovered one time when a writer, a dispatcher, was sent to deliver papers concerning this conspiracy, was struck by lightning in Bavaria, killed him dead. And when they found his body, the papers were scattered on the ground, and they discovered this conspiracy. And they began to round up members of Freemasonry or Illuminati. And so they had to go underground. Long story short. So, John Robeson, in 1798, summed it up, the goals of Illuminism, kind of prophetically. 200 years ago or so, he said, and I quote, in Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robeson, 1798, of which George Washington received a copy from Reverend Snyder in 1799, and George Washington died. Anyway, John Robeson, an honest Freemason, he said, I quote, "Their first and immediate aim is to get the possession of riches, power, and influence without industry, without working for it. And to accomplish this, they want to abolish Christianity. And then universal proficiency will procure them the inheritance of all the wicked and enable them to overturn all the civil governments of Europe, which after they will think of farther conquest, and extend their operations to the other quarters of the globe, unquote. And so Nestor Webster, around the turn of the century, an honest truth teller, she said, and I quote, "It is by this terrible and formidable sect that the gigantic plan for world revolution was worked out under the leadership of the man whom Louis Blanc, who is a radical socialist, had helped lead the 1848 French Revolution, has truly described as, quote, the profoundest conspirator that has ever existed, unquote. That's the beginning of what you're living with today. Now, that might be hard for some people to accept, and how they do that. Because they have a family tradition to pass this on to every generation as they raise their little pagan children to carry it on to the next generation. They start training them at the year 5 years old. They take their reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they also are teaching by the time they're 12 years old. They start early with their children. They go to the finest schools. They get the rewards. They get positions placed in, well, in economics, political arenas, sociological, ecological, cultural. Primarily, they're put in position of politics, religion, science, the arts, finance, education, and philosophy teaching or writing. And they make sure that they're there to foment this plan. Each generation, they never drop the ball. Doesn't always come true. They just readjust because of the committees they work at and plan. Now, that being said, you got the basis of the Iron Mount Report. We'll lead you to the next step, or lead me to the next step to tell you. A summary of the protocols, although it's very lengthy, the protocols, but I found a summary to give you an idea what they are. For example, the basic premise of the protocols is that the end justifies the means. And so the Goyim, which is us, instruments as FDR calls us, they believe that the Goyim are inferior to the globalists. And what they're going to need to do is, number one, place their agents and helpers everywhere. Everywhere meaning in those areas I told you about, political, religion, the sciences, arts, finance, education, philosophy. To take control of the media and use it for propaganda in our plans. The media. Well, how about that? Now, before I move on, let's talk about the media. Right quick to show you how that works. Because in the media, according to Gary Allen, 1976, Rockefeller file, he says, and I quote, "With money, the Rockefellers gain control of the media. With the media, the family gain control over public opinion. With control over public opinion, they gain control of politics. With control of politics, they're taking control of the nation." Now, that's just the United States. Go to Europe, it's the same thing. But more so in America. Because we are the last one, the last bastion, as they planned. So watch this. I had talked about this before, but now I've found other folks that's bringing it up too. Watch this. Here we go.
year is 1917, and Representative Oscar Calloway enters a disturbing statement into the U.S. congressional record. The statement reveals why J.P. Morgan interests hired 12 high-ranking news managers. The 12 were asked to determine the most influential newspapers in America. They were to figure out how many news organizations it would take to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States. The 12 found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An agreement was reached. The policy of the papers was bought, and an editor was placed at each paper to ensure that all published information was in keeping with the new policy. Soon, that policy would be defined by a front group formed by J.P. Morgan and his colleagues. In fact, Morgan's personal attorney was founding president of the organization, the Council on Foreign Relations. Today, the CFR maintains that its goal is to increase America's understanding of the world. However, the actual objective of this highly exclusive club is revealed by the rare admissions of the insiders themselves. In the early 60s, a Georgetown University professor collects information for a book favorable to the network of powerful men who founded the CFR. For 2 years, Professor Carol Quigley is allowed to examine the confidential papers and secret records of this network. Quigley reveals that these men aim to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. In short, they seek total and quiet control of the entire world. And the CFR is their most visible conduit for carrying out that agenda. CFR members include America's wealthiest tycoons, as well as the highly placed elite in government, academic institutions, tax-exempt foundations, and the establishment media. Ruling Class Journalists, written by Richard Harwood, describes the CFR membership as the ruling establishment in the United States. The Washington Post article boasted that news reporters who are CFR members do not merely analyze and interpret foreign policy for the United States. They help make it. Who are these policymakers? Many of their faces are familiar. NBC's Tom Brokaw, CBS's Dan Rather, ABC's Barbara Walters, Jim Lehrer of PBS, William F. Buckley of National Review, media mogul Rupert Murdoch, owner of the giant multifaceted News Corporation. These media heavyweights, and many others like them, are members of the CFR. Powerful corporations are also invited to become members. At the close of the 20th century, CFR influence presided over far-reaching consolidations of media control. In 1995, CFR members Michael Eisner of Disney and ABC's Thomas Murphy merged their media empires. Soon after the merger, the Disney-ABC empire becomes a CFR corporate member. In the year 2000, the world's largest internet service provider, America Online, joins forces with Time Warner, one of the world's largest news organizations. The CEOs favoring the move are CNN's Thomas Johnson and Time Warner's Gerald Levin, both CFR members. Once again, another media giant is created under the shadow of CFR influence. Today, an elite handful of individuals define the agendas that are supported by the empire of establishment news.
Now, to show you how they're controlled, you're going to love this. Watch this, for example.
In consumer news, economic factors may take some spring out of
different
the Easter Bunny
broadcast
step this year.
Same day.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some of the spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take the spring out of the step of the Easter Bunny.
They're all controlled. That's just a minor example of how they control the media. You know, I mean, that's just one tiny little bit. I mean, there's several others, and I just chose that one to show you that they have a connection worldwide, nationwide, and they're told what to say. So let's go with this about Cheney, who's still a cousin to the rest of them.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
You see, when you put things together, it gives you a whole different picture. And they're hoping you don't put things together. And that's what I do, is I connect dots, names, follow the money. And it leads you to an interesting pathway. And they're all connected. You know Romney, Kerry, Cheney, Bush, Clinton, Obama. They're all cousins. The same Merovingian bloodline. And when you got the, yes, true. When you got the Goyim, that's us, to keep them in control, they got a way of doing that through the media.
This
and other
is a
methods.
List of 23 key mind control related devices that have been issued patents from the United States Patent Office between 1956 and 2003. Many of these patents are microwave technology used in electromagnetic mind control. An organized stalking of individuals with directed energy weapons. This is not a list of all patented mind control technology and devices in the United States. This is only some of them. National Security Agency devil worshippers, known to be working long-range takeover plans here spanning several generations, were also known to have plans to use many of these technologies to mind control the planet, including the United States population. These satanic mind control monsters are still inside of our government today, running the show behind the shield of the National Security Act of 1947. Other mad scientists, such as Dr. M. A. Persinger, inventor of the God Helmet, and authority on electromagnetic mind control via microwaves, have further developed electromagnetic mind control using these patented technologies.
What Dr. Persinger is saying is that virtually any mental state can be artificially injected into a human brain from an exterior source. The most frightening thing is that the means for doing this already exists in a fully operational form on a worldwide basis. Quote, the power levels for these amplitudes are similar to those associated with the signals generated globally by radio and communication system. Within the last two decades, a potential has emerged which was improbable, but which is now marginally feasible. This potential is the technical capability to influence directly the major portion of the approximately 6 billion brains of the human species by generating neural information within a physical medium within which all members of the species are immersed. Unquote. Dr. Persinger's message, minus the jargon, is that the entire human race can be controlled through the use of electromagnetic influence piggybacked on television and radio networks or other technological means.
Effectively, all consciousness is due to electromagnetic patterns generated within the brain. What we do is imitate what the brain normally does and apply it experimentally.
Like, you know, where are these thoughts coming from?
Those thoughts came from the Neuroscience Laboratory at Laurentian University in Sudbury, Ontario.
I've got one that can see.
The movie They, with those glasses, remember? They tell you in the movies, actually.
He's a tall, Caucasian male, doesn't appear armed, wearing sunglasses.
I don't like this one bit. Not one bit.
You see, I'm trying to show you how that these people are putting things together, because they got to tell you what they're doing, how they're doing it, and you're not supposed to know. But they got to tell you anyway. Sometimes it's for arrogance. Sometimes it's their protocol that they have to tell you. Unfortunately, we got to play this guessing game, and I call it eating the chicken, spitting out the bones. And they use broadcasters. They use radio programs, they use magazines, TV, commercials, cartoons, movies, different ways to show you what they're doing before they do it. They have to. You see, if God requires his prophets to tell you what's coming, because there are no secrets, they do too. But they do it in a sneaky way. And they blind people by mind control, by the fluoride. Remember 1900 AD, they started the fluoride. And medication, drugs, is where the drugs come in. Keeping you busy with what I'm getting ready to tell you today about Iron Mountain Report. I'm leading up to it as we go along. So a little bit more insight into the CFR, and only a few more minutes of this, and we're going to move to something else. I'm going to move right along. Here we go.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
See, obviously, that's the significance, because they think it's funny. Now, one need only to look at the stockholder list of the major media corporate companies, or the list of CFR members that's among the companies, to see that the secret networks control the media continues to this very day. They have it ironclad. For the time being, And they operate through these, actually, the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute of National Affairs, the CFR, Gorbachev Foundation, United Nations, various of these committees and organizations. We meet and they make decisions that I've been talking about now for the past hour. And so, continuing on, I think I've made my point about the media. That's on congressional records. Everything I tell you is documented. I don't give you things that I haven't documented or found evidence for, in all cases. If it's an opinion, I'll tell you this is my opinion based on these facts. Now, so I was talking about media. Take control of the media and use it for propaganda in our plans. Start fights between different races, classes, and religion. That's what they've done. Ferguson is a good example. Bundy Ranch, white against white. Ferguson, black against white. White against black, whatever you want to look at it. What are they using for the white on white? White bread on white bread. What are they using? Patriotism. What are they using for Ferguson and that false flag? Oh, they'll kill people for false flags. But then they'll exacerbate it. They'll promote it. They'll use it. And what is it they're using? The racist issue. They use these issues by design. Religions, even today, there's a report coming out about Scientology and other religions. You have fake Christians like Steven Anderson and other preachers out there. Terry Jones, these guys that burn Korans and say that homosexuals should be killed. And there's another preacher said the same thing. And there's some legislator put through the, I can't believe this. You know, these people are so dumb, but they're actually smart, unfortunately. But they're doing it to foment conflict. And the Bible says, do not cause someone to despise you. They know that principle. So, when I attacked Islam by burning Korans, they know that the Muslims will dig in and there'll be no chance of witnessing about Jesus to them. They know that. That's what Terry Jones knows. He was trained by P2 in Germany for almost 30 years. He wasn't some backwoods preacher that burned a Koran and said Obama should be hung. He knows what he's doing because he's trained by the intelligence agencies in Germany to cause these trouble. To burn Koran on cue, they had riots in the Middle East on account of that. You think they care what some backwoods preacher from Florida, Terry Jones, would burn Korans, that it would start riots all through the Middle East and Benghazi and all that? No. It was all orchestrated by the Illuminati to use Jones, and he knew it too. So when they, Steven Anderson in Arizona, and these guys like that, homosexuals should be killed. You believe it anyway. And so they use the King James Bible. That really makes it bad, you see. So that puts a light on the rest of us. What happens is, it'll make sure that homosexuals will not look to Jesus Christ when they see that the preacher is saying you should be killed. This is the sneaky part of it that people isn't getting. They're not seeing the deeper side of why and the evil side of why these people do these things. When they cite the Levitical orders about homosexuality, the Old Testament, how come they don't say all adulterers must be killed too? Boy, that would sure wipe out the country now, wouldn't it? Instead, they focus on only homosexuals. Why is that? How come nobody asks these questions? Because homosexuality is not the only sin that's in the Bible that Leviticus calls for death. So why just that? Let no man despise you. They know that principle. So they do things so they will despise them and never accept Jesus as Savior. That is so evil. To call someone, oh my gosh, to reject Jesus Christ based on what some preacher does, they can't imagine in their worst total nightmare of what God's going to do to them on judgment for driving souls away from Him. I don't think in their worst nightmare they can even fathom what their judgment's going to be. That's why they do this. To drive them away from accepting Jesus as Savior by saying they all should be killed, etc., etc. That's the purpose of it, the only purpose. And to cite Levitical laws means to deny Jesus Christ while at the same time preach about Jesus. As I said at the very beginning, double-minded needs to be exposed. I've told my listening audience, if for some reason along the way I start going against the Bible and start doing my own, to don't listen to me no more. Turn off the radio. Don't go somewhere else because I've been compromised. You see, I'm dead serious about this. I don't play with this. So they start fights between different races, and this is the purpose of all of it. And the classes of people and the religions. And to do that, they have to create the religions. You see? Come on now, folks. Family, wake up. And you elite. You've been exposed, man. And I'm trying to get you to see also that what you're doing is only going to get you the hot foot. Your soul will be damned to hell. The protocols to use bribery, threats, and blackmail to get their way. Well, Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr, 1955. He defines what's called the Black Book. And the Black Book, by him, is defined as such. Quote, 1955, Red Fog Over America, says, a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy kept a record of the private lives of influential people together with a detailed report of their characteristics, their faults, and their failings. The information is used to persuade people into doing the bidding of the conspirators either because of their fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards, unquote. Investigation was done in Canada between 1924 and 1927 by Mr. H.H. Stevens, who was a member of Parliament for Vancouver, and they appointed him the Royal Commission to investigate a corrupt Canadian Customs and Excise Service. Well, subsequent to that investigation, they actually discovered plans in place to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. Today we see it as North American Union. This is back in 1924-27. Well, in finding this conspiracy out, part of the evidence they discovered in interviews and so forth, that interviews revealed that, quote, they established a new society in which the wealthiest members had made their money by illegal methods and were thus forever beholden to those who made their successful operations possible. The majority of these newly rich elite can't help but carry out the requests of those who made them rich, because those who made them millionaires almost overnight can reduce them to poverty just as quickly if they so much as hesitate to do their bidding. And remember when I said when the wall tore down in 1987 of communism, It didn't go inward. It came out. When that same investigation, 1927, even before that, they found out that, quote, they obtained a high control, they obtained a control of high-level government officials. They actually had to adapt a policy regarding international security, which actually permitted the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect the revolutionary plans and await the day when the international conspirators would give the order to revolt. That day has not happened yet. It'll be in one day. And now you wonder why today they're revealing all this stuff about Obama, all this stuff about France, all this about Greece, all this about Britain. We don't like this, we don't like that. And they're revealing the rotten governments, right? The worthlessness of government. Well, watch this. In this same result of the investigation, they found, quote, that the conspirators saw to it that just enough evidence appeared in the public free press. Remember, they control the media. To disgust the public. It gave the public the feeling that the governments were so rotten that any change must be for the best. But the news reports did not disclose any connection between the international capitalists who organized this gigantic conspiracy and the subversives in the underworld who put their plans into effect. Unquote. So, this revealing the truth in a lot of the radio programs and everything is designed to show you how disgusting the governments are in Greece, how disgusting the governments are in Ukraine, in whatever country, to show you we have something better for you. It's a new world order. Don't you want it? You see? And don't you want to get microchipped? We keep track of you. That's what it's all about. So if you're disgusted with the government, anything must be better than this, right? That's why they're doing it. And they control both parties. Part of the protocols, use Freemason lodges to attract potential public officials. Next, to appeal to successful people's ego. You see, rewards, financial, get you a parking place. To appoint puppet leaders who can be controlled by blackmail. There you go. Replace the royal rule with socialist rule. Then communism, you know, communitarianism. Then despotism. That follows Tyler's 8 steps of democracy to dictatorship perfectly. To abolish all rights and freedoms except the right of force by us. To sacrifice people, including Jews, sometimes when necessary. Family, the sacrifice of people goes into supernatural of opening up portals and channeling and getting their projects put through by supernatural means. To next eliminate all religions and replace it with science and materialism. Remember that that prayer to Satan and that council committee's meeting down in Florida? He prayed to Satan. He praised science in that prayer before a council meeting began. Right out in the open. Science of materialism is humanism. Humanism is Satanism under disguise. Control the education system to spread deception and destroy the intellect. To rewrite history to our benefit. Oh, that's a humdinger. Could we get into education? Oh, we'd be here all day. We talk about education. in the education department, they really went after your children. Yes, Lake Worth, Florida, prayer to Satan and before council meeting started. You ought to hear that thing. It's unbelievable. It tells you where we're headed in that particular prayer. It's a symbol of what's yet to come. I'm toying with the idea of actually playing it right now, but it'd take a little while, and I don't know if that's appropriate right now because I got to move on. Nope, I'm going to play it. This is what's going on, what's really in the background. It's going to be nationwide because they're trying to do it everywhere. Here we go. Listen to this.
Here. Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell.
Lake Worth, Florida, in December 2014.
Commissioner John Cerity. If everyone would please rise for the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell.
Now, while they're getting up, five of them leave and go in another room. Talking about division. And then he says, duly noted, they left him. Five remaining out of ten.
Duly noted. Our collective atheism, which is to say loving empathy, scientific evidence, and critical thinking, leads us to believe that we can create a better, more equal community without religious divisions. May we pray together. Mother Earth, we gather today in your redeeming and glorious presence to invoke your eternal guidance in the universe, the original creator of all things. May the efforts of this council blend the righteousness of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan. May Zeus, the great god of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings, while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection. We praise you, Krishna, for the sanguine sacrifice that freed us all. After all, if Almighty Thor is with us, who can ever be against us? And finally, for the bounty of logic, reason, and science, we simply thank the atheists, agnostics, humanists, who now account for 1 in 5 Americans. And growing rapidly. In closing, let us above all love one another, not to obtain mythical rewards for ourselves now, hereafter, or based on superstitious threats of eternal damnation, but rather embrace secular-based principles of morality and do good for goodness sake. And so we pray, so what?
Now they say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then people come back in for the Pledge of Allegiance now.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under God? After they had the prayer to Satan? Now, that's not the only one.
Additions, deletions, or reordering.
And they go on about the business and what have you. They're trying to get it in every state. They're trying to get... That's what's picking up steam. I mean, right there it is, clear and simple. Now, what gets me, and let's see, they play video games. Which one of them have seen Almighty Thor? Except on a darn TV or a movie. And they pray to him. That's utter insanity. And in the same prayer, Allah, Krishna, Satan, Thor... I'm surprised he didn't bring Emerald Fudd after he got his hair cut. It's nuts. But yet it's serious. Before a serious council meeting, they say this prayer. So, another way they control, through the Iron Mountain Commission, the protocols learned out of the Zion, education. Education, control the education system to spread deception and destroy intellect. Well, this is the most obvious, yet still remains the most insidious. has always been a would-be dictator, ultimate fantasy to educate naturally impressionable children. Thus, it's been a central component to communism, fascist tyrannies throughout history. No one has been more instrumental in exposing the agenda of modern education than Charlotte Isserby. During the Reagan administration, one can begin your research, if you will, in this area by downloading her gigantic book of Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And it lays bare the role of globalist foundations in shaping the future, intended to produce servile drones. This is where No Child Left Behind and Common Core, which has now caused cheating to happen, and now they're going to put teachers in jail? They put the textbooks back in the back in history, and they give out handouts. And the teachers that are good teachers walk around like on eggs, because the little Eastern Stars that are teachers go around like banty roosters, watching and listening, like they're doing the males do, the husbands, and in the police departments, in the political arena, the schools, and the churches, to make sure they follow the Humanist Manifesto. Of course, if they're Masons doing it, they're under a blood oath anyway. You know, it's no secret that our education system is in shambles. And it would, when it talks about taking the young, I should give you an example. How about a doctor from Harvard? Is that evidence enough for you? In 1973 in Denver, Colorado, at a teacher's conference, a Dr. Pierce from Harvard was talking to 2,000 teachers at one time in a teacher's conference, and he said the following. I quote. In a minute. Yeah. He said in front of 2,000 teachers at one time. That's amazing. He said this following quote. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you parents to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. Unquote. Now, how come out of the 2,000 teachers, some of them, they get really mad and say, wait a minute, my child's not sick. You, Dr. Pierce, are a fruitcake, and you're sick, and we're going to put a petition that you get your honey butt out of Harvard, and they put you out on the streets, and maybe give you, as a going-away present, a shopping cart. But did they do that? No. They didn't. Not a word was heard. Like on Christmas Day about a little mouse in the corner. Not a word was heard. That's not all. That's not isolated incident. It is standard. Along that same time frame, in 1970s, Ashley Montagu spoke to 1,000 home economic teachers in a conference and stated, quote, the American family structure produces mentally ill children, unquote. Paul Brandwine, Brandweenie, or Brandwine, whatever. He is an influential educator, taught that, quote, any child who believes in God is mentally ill. Now, are you finding out what your children are being taught when they come home? And they're taught a bunch of nonsense that you find out. Are you getting with the other parents to say, you know what Mary Sue found out today? No, yeah. Then you get a third set of parents, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and the next teacher's conference, the next parent-teacher's meeting, and you double barrels. And you got backup, and you change it. Now that's doing something. Charles Francis Potter, a humanist, in 1930 said, I quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Humanism and every American public school is a school of humanism." To show you continuity, 57 years later, in 1987, Herbert London, educator, said, and he's from New York University, a CFR college, by the way, he said, and I quote, "The strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades," that takes it back to the 1960s, "every discipline, in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its preachment." He's talking about Marxism and socialism. "And almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar." And in 1989, Georgia Ann Geyer, who was a syndicated columnist under Bill Clinton, of course, she said, and I quote, "The percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range from a 90% in some Midwestern universities," unquote. "Hence, I proved to you that in 87, the wall came down, right? But 1989, Marxist faculty numbers of faculty was 90% in some Midwestern universities. I thought communism was eliminated." And you know, at the same time, 1989, 2 years later, Roger Kimball said, and I quote, "With just a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu," that's Marxism and humanism, "at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels," unquote. Roger Kimball. What's it going to take? How much do I got to repeat? How much new information do I got to give? For people in position are going to say, wait a minute here. We've been taking it hook, line, and sinker. It's time to make something happen. And we're not talking some silly revolution which will only play in their hands. We're not talking about that nonsense. Martial law. It's time to take over the government. Really? And by chance, who are you going to put in place of it? Jerry Boykin? He's a Knights of Malta. Like Reagan. Secret Society member. Rick Joyner? Ron Paul? He's a Rosicrucian. His wife's an Eastern Star. Who are you going to put in charge? Or maybe just have a little bit of, I don't know, of anarchy. Oh, that'd really go over well, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't. Family, it's about praying. It's about taking action that requires legislators to move, teachers to make notice, superintendents and principals to say, uh-oh, we better change that policy. The answer actually lies in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Joint Chief of Staff and CFR and business and all those would take heed. This is the answer and the only answer. God says, and I quote, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." That's the only answer you're going to get that's going to work. Now, right now, I'm still just scratching the surface. Education. And rewrite history to our benefit. Create entertaining distractions. There's football, baseball, mixed martial arts, Dancing with the Stars, beauty pageants. Everything is part of this to keep us busy, tied up, at war with each other, betting on it or whatever, something to keep us away from God. Corrupt the minds with filth and perversion. Encourage people to spy on one another. Keep the masses in poverty and perpetual labor to make sure you all don't get rich at all. If you do, they're going to be on you real quick. And they find out because they made each American citizen, through your birth certificate since 1929, a corporation, dummy corporation. And by doing that, it requires us as corporations to file income tax. You don't file income tax as a citizen. Why would a citizen file income tax? You work for a living. You make it, right? You earn it. Income tax. What are you talking about? Well, because you're not sovereign citizens. You are instruments and collateral in a bank loan established in 1929. So they make you that was awkward. They make you a dummy corporation, like America is a dummy corporation, so you got to pay income tax because of that reason. So when you start making money extra or making money over, and other guys report it, they're going to find out how much you make and where you're getting it from. That's what that's all about, you know. And FDR, that liar and murderer, oh, absolutely, I can say that and prove it too. And Churchill, the same thing. Responsible for the death of Pearl Harbor. Yeah, because they planned it with Pearl Harbor. They planned it with the Japanese elite and Churchill. And Churchill set up the Lusitania May 7th, 1915. He set that up for them to die. I got this from historians. It's confirmed. There's no doubt about it. He's a Knight of Malta, too, by the way. It all comes around circle. Every bit of it. To keep the masses in poverty, perpetual labor. Take possession of all wealth, property, and especially gold. Use gold to manipulate the markets, causing depressions, recessions, and inflationary periods. Family, they do that like you do a checkbook. Introduce a progressive tax on wealth. Replace sound investment with speculation. Make long-term interest-bearing loans to governments. And if the governments don't take them, you cause a war, a revolution, an assassination, or you vilify the leader, take him away for democracy, like Syria. Or they, like Saddam, like Milosevic. You train them. They play the role like Castro. Castro was a 7-year Jesuit. And they play the role to justify what happens to their country. Long story short, if they don't play the role, you take them out. Replace them with a puppet. That's how it works. And give bad advice to governments and everyone else. And so, eventually, we the people, we the goyim, in every country, doesn't matter, will get so angry at all this, and so angry with the governments, because we'll blame them for the resulting mess. That's what they said, the protocols. That they'll gladly have us take over. We will then appoint a descendant of David to be the king of the world, and remaining goyim will bow down and sing his praises. Everyone will live in peace and obedient order from his glorious rule. Family, that's the Antichrist. and they're going to try to fake it on you. That's yet to come. They're going to tell you lies like Jesus had children. That would be the biggest lie you've ever heard. I've already had it told to me this morning on one of the YouTube of a colonel that said, yeah, Jesus had children. I said, I know what you're smoking, but he sure didn't. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Freemasons, they're taught that. That Jesus had children. Well, that's going to be the Antichrist. And ain't going to be no child of Jesus. It's going to be a child of Sanan Emmanuel. Well, that's a whole different story. Family, that's a summary of the protocols. Now, it goes deeper than that. Because now the protocols, when you fast forward it, is then put into the World Revolutionary Plan up to 1948 and 1950s. So by 1960s, here comes the Iron Mountain Report. Because the wars of World War I, World War II, and yet to happen, World War III, and various revolutions, family, they were all planned by Albert Pike before 1871. And each generation, from then on, by technology, by the political situation, sociological situation, they'd plan the next 20 years and leapfrog each decade. So by World War II, which was used to establish Israel, the fake Israel, the next war would be World War III, yet to happen. Not the one they're trying to show you now. This is ridiculous. Well, they may have a war, but it won't be World War III. They may call it World War III. It will not be. The real one follows a peace of prosperity period. It's yet to happen. That's the second seal. So now, after the war of World War II, they had to have a report from Iron Mountain. They set up, and as I mentioned yesterday, on the possibility and desirability of peace. And they came up with what areas that war would affect, which they came up with, and the following areas: economics, political, sociological, ecological, and cultural scientific. And they come up with what can substitute those areas instead of war in peacetime that would have the same effect of controlling people. That's what I talked about yesterday. Now, in those areas, let me show what they did. Economically, war was, throughout history, stabilized, providing a system for controlling national economies. Politically, war and the permanent possibility of war have been basic to stable government while propagating acceptance of political authority, martial law, maintaining necessary class distinctions, subordinating citizens to the state. And the report claims that without sustaining credible threats of war, no modern ruler would have been able to maintain proper control. Sociologically, war and the presence of military institutions have throughout history helped control social dissidents, antisocial behaviors, while having social allegiance and social cohesion. Ecologically, war has been indispensable for balancing populations with supply of food and other essentials. And last but not least, culturally, scientifically, the war culture has shaped values in the creative arts as well as motivating science and technology and using it against the public to see what happens. It's called guinea pigs. Now, I got 10 more minutes to go, and like I said, we'll go into it on Monday, but I'm going to give you kind of a sample right here. There was in 1963 a list of communist goals that was obtained, and it's under congressional record from the Naked Communist by Cleon Skosin. For example, the U.S. acceptance of coexistence is the only alternative to atomic war. So now you're talking political area. The U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. That's political. Then you've got develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States will be a demonstration of moral strength. Well, that serves the economic and political agenda. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. It's political and economics. So now, family, you've got what's called a round table. And on that round table, you've got these committees and councils that that are members of these movements. And they discuss, for example, the political, religious, science, arts, finance, education, philosophy. Under their areas in the Iron Mountain Report of economics, political, sociological, ecological, and cultural differences. So they sit around. It's round table. And they will intermix with themselves. They'll say, well, if we do this, this is going to happen. So bring in religion and science. That's where evolution comes from. See how it works? And they discuss this in their meetings, these areas. And then they put them to use. And they control us with it. For example, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. That's economic and political. So those guys would talk together. They'd work it out by deploying military or financial controls. To grant recognition of Red China and admission of Red China to the UN. Now you see why Rules of Engagement said that Communist China had remained communist. And why the Korean War happened. See how it works? This is how it really operates behind our backs. Set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections and supervision of the UN. Political. Prolong the conferences of banned atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend the test as long as negotiations are in progress. So that encompasses three areas. Economics, political, and sociological. Political, because it's going to damage the environment. Political, also, because of the threat. Economic, also. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Poor old McCarthy didn't have a chance. Do away with all loyalty oaths. Sociological. Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Economics and political. See how it works? I got like 40 different areas here that they have control. One, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. That encompasses your arts, the political arena, and religion. These guys talk with each other. They discuss what's going to happen when they institute these programs. So now you kind of got an idea. Oh, by the way, here's another one. Number 26. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as, quote, normal, natural, and healthy. Oh, I tell you, Monday, I got a lot to tell you in detail. And this explains why things are going on in the news today. Here's another one, 35. Oh, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. So what they're going to do is show the Secret Service is ill-equipped. How the ATF or FBI is taking money from the cartels or having drug parties and all this to discredit them, to get rid of them. I told them it's going to happen, and it will. It's documented. So they got to show that the FBI is inadequate. ATF, the Secret Service, is inadequate. You're going to find newspaper articles coming out to show how the agents are ill-trained, how the police are ill-trained to have a national police force. Family, all this is prescripted. How else can I tell you all this? I keep a checklist, sort of, to try to keep track of the reports that come out to show you how this works. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And so you all that's doing it, we're on to you, man. We're on to you. And you see it's going to fail. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. This is supernatural. No human has the mental ability to do this. Not possible. The supernatural realm is behind it. And humankind are pawns in the game. And so if the supernatural is behind it, and evil is behind it, guess who loses? And there's not a darn thing you can do about it. For the family, there is to take Jesus Christ as Savior. Because you're already free with Him. You're not under bondage like they are. Because you already know it's going to go happen. You're not the one in bondage. They are. I do want to remind you, before we close today and continue on Monday, my broadcast and Bible studies are played randomly on highpointradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he's agreed to play randomly on his network in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania on his towers up there. He has sponsors to help him keep going. If you live in those three states, then donate to him or use the sponsors and give him a good word. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com. That's watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Family, I do the best I can to try to simplify this very, very complicated conspiracy. To show you, this thing is canned, it's set up like we're in a fishbowl. But it don't matter. They lose. It decides who the wheat and the tares are. Because it's going by the book. And the supernatural is using us as pawns, using them as pawns. But Jesus Christ gives you freedom. You have freedom to choose. And when you choose truth, you're not a slave at all. They're the slaves. You're not. Well, family, y'all have a great weekend on this 27th of March, 2015. And we'll see you all either tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. Or we'll see you 4 o'clock on Monday. And we'll continue on with the Iron Mount Report and show you more specifically how they're controlling us. And get right down to it. We'll talk about more specifics on Monday. Bible study tonight has been about the mechanics, the physics of the demonic activity and how to defeat it. You got to know them to defeat them. That's what we've been talking about the past 3 nights on Bible study. The reality of how they operate. Family, have a great night. And God bless you. And remember, I've given you this massive conspiracy, but remember, they lose. They're not the creators. They're the manipulators. God's the creator. And the created can never defeat the created. The created can never defeat the creator. It's impossible. Y'all have a good night. God bless you and have a great weekend. Be safe. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble, and I am signing off.
Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Every day to the end.